live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Hey, hey, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going. Yeah, 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 we going. Yeah, 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 we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live. From the 50-yard line.
Hello, beautiful people.
Hello, hello, hello.
I am Jared, the football genius Burgess.
I am Stephanie Fitzpatrick, aka the Advantage Coach.
And this is episode 141 of the Field to the Real podcast.
Yes.
We got a lot of stuff on the docket for today.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot going on, y'all. A lot going on. Yes. And so before we start, y'all just bear with me. So for you all who don't know, we are preparing for a new addition to the family.
Yes, yes.
And that could happen any moment. And so in order, I'm spoiled, I will admit it, that I have not had to do this, not one time. But we are practicing, getting me ready to, Jared kind of produces the show, if y'all don't know. He MCs, he takes care of all of the intricacies. All I got to do is get on and run my mouth, right?
So that ain't all you do.
So we are in the process of kind of training me today. So y'all bear with me as we get ready for Jared to go on paternity leave. And so I will be holding it down. And so I'm practicing. So just bear with me, please. Okay.
It's going to be fine.
Yeah, pray. That's the other thing I'll ask. Please, prayers are definitely needed.
Yes.
Yeah, this ain't my thing, y'all. But we're going to make it work. Not my thing, but we're going to make it work. All right. So let's jump on in.
All right.
Who's really right?
What are we looking at today?
So the Celebration Bowl, which we talked about last week, took place last week. And shockingly enough, the result was not what we expected. However, so for you all who don't know, the Celebration Bowl was between Jackson State and South Carolina State. And South Carolina State took care of business.
Yeah.
And part of that business was Shaq Davis, who is their premier wide receiver.
Yeah.
Scored a touchdown, I believe it was in the second quarter, and proceeded to do Deion Sanders, who is the coach of Jackson State, his infamous dance. So our who's really right is, was it disrespectful or was it a homage for Shaq Davis to do Prime's dance after scoring the touchdown? And since I'm emceeing today, we're going to let you go first.
Are you going to make me go first? Yes.
We're going to let you go first today.
All right. So after looking at, and after, you know, we talked about this during our production meeting, and my feeling on it is, even though he did it after scoring a touchdown, because he did it, it's always going to be homage. Even if in his mind, okay, I did this, you know what I'm saying, as kind of a mocking thing. It's Deion Sanders' dance. Like, if it was just some regular dance and he was just stomping on the, you know, on the, you know, you remember when Terrell Owens went to the middle of the star?
Yes.
And that's disrespectful.
Yeah.
Deion Sanders' dance is an iconic dance. Now, the only problem I had with it is he just looked trash doing it. If you was going to do that, okay, you should have practiced a little more, Shaq.
But it felt like a last minute decision.
Yeah, yeah. Like he just thought of it like, oh, let me try this
because I got the end zone. It felt like a last minute decision.
But like, all eyes are on Coach Prime right now. You know what I'm saying? And honestly, they probably been on him for the last 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
You know? And so he's an iconic figure. there's no way that doing his dance could be disrespectful.
Mm-hmm. You done?
Yeah.
So obviously I feel differently about
right.
it. Primarily because, like we talked about in a production meeting, typically because Deion Sanders was an iconic defensive player, defensive mm-hmm. back, typically when you see people do this, it is defensive players. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have seen offensive players do this before. But typically it's defensive players on pick six, because that's why Deion did the dance in the first place.
Right.
But I'm more concerned with the intent behind it. And that's what makes it disrespectful to me, because you were being snarky in my mind. Like you right. were, it's all, you might as well have just gone and danced in Deion's face. Yeah, it was not, as soon as he did it, I was cringing. Well, for the reason you said, it was bad, first of all.
Yeah.
It was just bad. But then the fact that you did that, like, and I know you did it probably as a mind game thing, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it, the intention behind it, that's the problem for me. Intention is where the disrespect comes from to me. If, you know, if this was any other situation, it would be different even if you did it. If Deion was in the stands, Deion's the coach of the other team. Mm-hmm. This is disrespect at this point. I feel like it was just because of the intention behind it. That's my only thing. The intent behind it.
This is
made it disrespectful.
This is that right there is why I think it's so hard to prosecute people in a particular. Not like from. Police officers. No, because I was just looking at the case the other day, because there's no real way
you can't get in nobody's brain.
Yeah, to definitively say, now, if Shaq Davis came out and said, oh yeah, I meant that as a way to, you know what I'm saying, take shot at Jackson State and Coach Prime,
right.
then we would know his intention. Now, looking at it, we could assume that, all right, because you're doing this dance against this coach whose dance it is, then the assumption is that, oh yeah, you're doing it to be disrespectful. But like, as much as I hated Florida State and certainly hated the Cowboys, like Deion holds a special place in the heart of the culture.
Of course.
You know, and so I think that it'd be very hard, especially with kids this age, like we talked about the player Hunter who made the decision, like he studied Deion.
Yeah.
And so these kids know who Deion is, like they know who he is.
Yeah.
And so maybe disrespect, I think, is probably just too strong of a word for me to ride with it. You know what I'm saying? Because to me, in order to do the dance, you have to have respect for Deion.
No, you don't.
I think you would have to.
Well, these kids, they don't.
Yeah,
they don't.
Okay. I do. Okay. So we did agree with that. These kids, some of these kids don't be having respect for nobody.
They don't know what that is.
But I think in being anywhere around the game, you know, like the respect is in the fact of like, you know Deion enough to do the dance. Like, because if you, disrespectful would be pretending that you don't know Deion at all. You know, doing that's his dance,
there's a too. Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's a layer of respect embedded in the fact that you know the dance enough to do it.
Okay, so here's my last point about it, because I know this for a fact. Whether we know the intent behind it or not, we know they walked in with a chip on their shoulders, because the colorful commentators, by the way, that was the bomb, man. I was excited. Listen. Oh, RG3 had me laughing the whole
game. Oh, man, yes.
But they really made the point of how disrespected South Carolina State felt
mm-hmm.
coming into this game. And how they had just kind of been dismissed. Like it was a certainty that they would lose. They were the underdogs. And because Coach Prime is Coach Prime, all eyes on him. Anything that's surrounding him, all eyes. It doesn't help that your sons play for you, offensive, defense. All eyes are on y'all. So, yeah, I feel like because they came in with that chip on their shoulder, I'm still on my intent thing. I still feel like, because of it, because they came in the way they did, I feel like, So y'all let us know who's really right. Jared thinks it was an homage. I think it was disrespect. You let us know. You know how to get, we'll talk about how to hit us up. Okay, so on to topics now.
Yes.
Yeah, this is interesting. Y'all just stay with us. Buckle up. So the Lakers, I can't even remember what day I saw this, but Anthony Davis, AD, from the Lakers, hurt again. I know they did an MRI. Did they say whether, I can't remember whether they said what it was or not yet.
He has been dealing with a calf for years, but I can't remember if that was the thing.
Yeah, I know they said it was an MRI. They had to do an MRI. So I know it was bad because he knew it was probably season ending just because of his reaction. When he got up finally, he broke down in the hallway on the way to the locker room.
He probably thought it was worse than what it is.
I hope that's the case.
I don't know what the grade is, but it's an MCL sprain.
Okay.
Which for those of you,
come on, kinesiologist,
who don't know what an MCL is, it's basically a ligament in your knee, and it runs down the inside of your knee. It's called the medial collateral ligament.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
And it helps the knee to stabilize when you move it from side to side, and so. Spraining it hurts. Tearing it is worse, but spraining it hurts really, really bad, and it makes it hard to move side to side. So he'll be out for 4 weeks with that injury.
Okay. But it's just, it's the, my chandelier analogy is starting to be AD's reality. I'm worried. Like, are you fragile? What's happening? Are you not, like, I'm almost like, what is it that look, I mean, recently he's been hurt a lot more, but for almost 20 years, LeBron has just been durable.
Right.
Very rare are we seeing him in before. It's been a lot more lately, but very rarely were we seeing him injured. And I'm just wondering, like, do you need to hang out with LeBron, Tom Brady, somebody, because maybe you're not taking care of your body the way you need to. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's something. It's just, yeah. Either that or you just fragile.
I think with, especially with sports, like there are a lot of variables. And while that might be one of them, it's very difficult to tell if injury history is a product of just not training enough or if it is genetics.
That's what I guess that's what I said. Are you just fragile? Are you not doing enough? Or are you just, you know, are you just fragile? Do you just, some people are just prompt. That's okay. So for you all who don't know, the my terminology of chandelier, let me give you the background. So the Atlanta Falcons used to have a quarterback named Chris Chandler. And I promise you, if somebody blew on Chris Chandler, he got hurt. No exaggeration. And so I started calling him Chris Chandelier instead of Chris Chandler. And so now I just use the term chandelier when I'm talking about people who seem to be injury prone. And so AD is getting in that category of chandelierism for me.
Yeah. You know, it's always hard to tell. And I try hard not to be so hard on, like, If anybody knows me in my career, every year as a football player, at least, I don't know much about how basketball players deal with this on a higher level, like in college, but every year you're hurt. Mm-hmm. Like there is something that you're dealing with.
I imagine that, playing 82 games or however many they play in college. You hurt.
Right.
I'm hurting.
Like I remember like my freshman year, it started off with a shoulder sprain. And I missed my first start. Right. Oh. Very first start, I missed it because, actually, no, I did. I started, but I came out of the game. But because it just hurt. Mm-hmm. And so after a couple of games, I came back. And then I fractured my thumb.
And little stuff. It feel like little stuff, right?
Right. And yeah. So, like, it's one of those things where, like, you could, if you wrap it up tight enough and you got the brace on it and all of that, you could play through it, but it hurt, like, it hurts.
Yeah, I can't.
And so, you know, throughout my career, I've had injuries that hurt, but none like the injury my senior year where I tore my medial and lateral meniscus. Mm-hmm. And that is something that you should have surgery for.
Yeah.
And I ended up playing through it. And so I think that in retrospect, playing through it at the time felt like the manly thing to do.
Hmm.
But in retrospect, in my career being furthered, whether that, you know, would have been playing a long NFL career, playing in the CFL, or playing semi-pro, you know, the decision is to play through that injury affected my career going forward.
Mm-hmm.
If I had had surgery right after the injury and not played the next 8 games,
mm-hmm.
and then had surgery, I would have been, I would have been in a lot better shape to, you know,
move forward.
Mm-hmm. To go forward. And so I'm sensitive to the subject of players being injured a lot or playing through injury because I look back at it and I think to myself, like, what did that really get me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, maybe someone, you know, that like that was what, 12, 13 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and someone says, oh, Jared played through such and such injuries. He was a tough player. But like, what does that
really mean? Right. You know? Right. In the big scheme of scope of
things. In the grand scheme of things. And yeah. So, you know, I'm always sensitive in talking about these subjects of injury just because, like, I know what it is to be injured to the extent of, it's like, all right, you're not really supposed to be playing. Like, I literally had to get doped up before every game. And I say that in jest, but.
No, well, but it is essential because they had to thumb you up to,
In order to play
in
these games. And it's like, you know, I set out my whole senior season for an ankle injury. And it's like in your mind, you start to like hear those things like, oh, is he injury prone? You know what I'm saying?
Right,
And so you hear those things and it kind of presses against your manhood, even though maybe it shouldn't, or maybe you don't think it's supposed to.
No.
But to be told that you're fragile, or to be told that, you know, those things do kind of hit at the core of you, like, okay, well, in order for me to show that I'm tough, let me play through this injury.
No.
So,
well, thank you for sharing it. That's not my point. I'm not saying he needs to be on the floor, because I don't think that.
No, well, so I'm guilty of it as well. Mm-hmm. And that's why I had to reflect on it and think about my own experience, because like a lot of the times people play through those injuries and hurt themselves even more just because of perception. Huh?
KD coming back for the Warriors.
Yes. That's a perfect example.
Yep.
Yeah. You know.
I feel like Russell Wilson came back to her.
Perfect examples. You know. And then we see their play start to suffer and we're like, well, you're out there, you're playing, you should be playing well. And it's like,
no.
Well, I don't want to look like I'm soft or fragile, but I'm also not, I'm doing my team a disservice by playing under the conditions that I'm playing. And so it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah. It is. And I just want to be clear. AD, I don't think you should be out there playing. And there's nothing wrong with you being injury prone. I think we just need to evaluate what that means. For me, in my head, I'm more on the side of, do I keep doing this to myself? Because obviously what we do with the project or even with New Breed Works, we're talking about you're more than the sport, right? So I'm always of the mindset that if when the sport is over with me, am I willing to walk away? And I think for me, when I talk about people and their fragility or them being seeming fragile in that respect or being injury prone, that's what I'm talking about. Like I'm talking about it from the standpoint of like, first of all, like you said, if I still am going to play, am I going to give myself the appropriate and correct amount of time to get my body right all the way back? And then if I'm not, what am I doing? Am I okay with leaving this in order to, you know what I mean? Like, I think that like the way Calvin Johnson walked away from football because he said, if I continue, I got to keep being doped up. And I don't want to be doped up. I can't smoke to get myself right. So I got to go.
Right.
Essentially, that was his stance.
Nah, that was, that was it.
So, yeah. But he made the informed, well,
let my man smoke his weed. And
yeah, let him go smoke. Medicate. Yeah. Pass and keep it moving, like whatever works for him. I'm just saying, he made that informed decision. He did. He made an informed decision, and he did it, like looking at the bigger picture, like we're talking about. So that's just kind of where I was with that. All right, next topic.
All right,
Kyrie Irving.
Oh man.
So, for you all who don't know, Kyrie Irving was kind of pretty much put on the shelf, put on ice for the season because by the Nets because he wouldn't his because of his vaccination status basically, and in New Jersey, no, in New York, in New York, they have pretty much passed a law where you can't be in a place where it's lots of people, basically, where you cannot gather at space, basically, if you're not vaccinated.
Right.
And so all of a sudden, because they've experienced a spike in COVID cases, ironic. Anyway, that now all of a sudden they decided to take him off the shelf, get him out of the ice, and let him play part-time. And that means he'll play when they play places other than cities where they have this kind of rule or law or policy in place. So is this, we talked about this, is this fair that they're doing this?
Of course not. And this isn't anything against Kyrie. When you take a stance like that, you have to be prepared for the consequences that come with taking that stance. And so I have no problem with Kyrie doing
it. Right.
But when you acquiesce to
big word, Jerry.
When you acquiesce to kind of his demand of like, okay, I want to play and I don't want to get the vaccination until, you know, then what happens is all of those folks that you made get that vaccination. And to be clear, the NBA didn't force anybody to get a vaccination. There are teams in in certain states, like the teams in New York, the teams in California. I'm not sure any other states that have adopted this.
No, I don't know.
But those teams, because of the rule that you stated, they have to be vaccinated in order to play in those facilities. And so I think allowing after after the Brooklyn Nets made the statement that they weren't going to do any part-time stuff with Kyrie, allowing him to play now, it just looks away.
It's hypocritical.
No, definitely hypocritical.
It's hypocritical. And I just feel like we've had this conversation about this whole professional sports mimicking, emulating slavery to some degree, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's that mentality that you didn't do it our way, so we were going to punish you, but now we need you, so we can ignore the rules and just let you come to. It's kind of what we,
that was a great
the
point.
Microcosm of the society we live in right now, yeah. Right? That at first it's like, no, we can't do that. No, we're not. And then when it benefits, or you see that your back is against the wall, then, mm-hmm. Oh, but this was a rule or a law, you were standing. So essentially what happened, I love the words you use, and I'm going to use them. Essentially, Kyrie Irving stood his ground, but the Nets did not.
That is what happened.
That's what happened. Mm-hmm. Now you need him. Well, right. You should have thought about that before you put your foot down, because now you look soft. Now you look like so wishy-washy. Like, now he's going to push you around.
Exactly. And that's the thing.
Give him the upper hand. And anybody else who's out there who decided not to be vaccinated, and now you've given them some ammunition.
And my thing was with Kyrie, he stood his ground, like you said, and for you to now, if you were going to make this decision, you should have never said anything in the beginning.
You should have just kept your mouth shut, because you didn't know what was going to happen. You didn't know what was going to happen. But you thought, you know, he going to give in. That's what you thought.
Right.
Oh, he's going to give in. There's no way he's going to keep. Oh, okay. Sure. So this is interesting.
It's getting worse. With this Omarion variant,
Listen, and not the Omarion. Did you call it Omarion? Dancing.
It's the Omarion brand. It's dancing all through the country.
Omarion, we sorry. No, that's so funny. But yeah, I mean, he's in COVID protocol. He's in COVID, the COVID protocol right now. Anyway. Yeah. I mean, I guess they had to put him in.
I'm about to say that. Back, that's par for the course.
Yeah, but still. I don't like it. Just make up your mind. Just make up your mind. That's all I have to say. Yeah. All right. So, y'all make up your mind. So, this next one.
Mm-hmm. Is this your goat?
Huh?
I just like to say, I made a very, very unpopular, in my opinion, well, especially for you, take a couple of months ago when I was like, I don't know, he just may be entering that, you know, for me being the GOAT. And then he does something like this, and it's just like, I really don't like that guy.
I'm not, you know what? Anyway, let me tell y'all what we're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, I stay
doing that.
Yeah, we always do. So Tom Brady. They played the Saints last Sunday night. Was it Sunday night?
Sunday night, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Last Sunday night, they played the Saints and lost 9-0.
The Saints went marching in.
Yes, they did. So essentially a shutout of Tom Brady, which is unheard of. So he was rightfully very frustrated, right? Mm-hmm. But his unsportsmanlike actions continue to show up in these moments when he's not getting his way, so to speak. So he threw a tantrum, and this time what he did was, and it is not alleged now, it's true, he did it.
Oh no, we saw it, yeah, we saw it.
He used some colorful language with the interim coach who was stepping in the moment, because Sean Payton, the Saints coach, is out for COVID. And so their interim defensive coordinator, bless his heart, just doing his job, doing it well, mind you, they shut you out. You roll past him and you use some expletives to tell him about what you thought about him and his team. Okay.
Tell him to go F himself.
Yes, I didn't want to say it, but there we go. And so that wasn't the end, though. That was enough to get anybody else on cancel culture, right? Anybody else?
Right.
Just that would have been enough to get you on cancel culture. But no, Tom wasn't through. Tantrum Tom wasn't through. Mm-mm. He decides to go to the sideline and throw the tablet.
Mm-hmm. And broke it.
Smashed it. Mm-hmm. Broke it. I can't remember what saint that was that tweeted out and said that about Microsoft. I have a friend who needs a new... I have a friend who needs a new Surface. Can you help it out? Oh, that was so funny. But anyway, so I guess when I was, this behavior is just ridiculous to me. And it's only because of Tom Brady that he gets away with it. Would anybody else be allowed to carry on like this without some repercussions? Even if it wasn't from the league or the team, but just in general from the culture. Would anybody else be able to get away with this? How does he keep getting to be throw tantrums like this? And you gave a great example, and I want you to talk about it.
Well, let me say first, like, the statement you made about it, you said it from your mouth to God's ears. This is the epitome of white privilege.
Yes.
The epitome, because Odell Beckham Jr. is just as fiery on the sideline.
Yeah.
And the media has made him a problem and a cancer in the locker room because of all of this, because of, just showing some passion, emotion, as they said.
Weren't those Tom Brady's words?
Right.
That was his reasoning for this, right?
Yeah.
It's a game. We playing it's a game. Game. Emotions. We heighten emotions. But Odell Beckham Jr.
Because when he does something like this,
he didn't destroy nothing. Nor did he cuss out a coach.
Exactly.
Maybe so, his own, but anyway.
Yeah, he probably deserved to be cursed out. But that's
another story for later, right?
Yeah. But no, and we see this all the time when we see black players who are, passionate and fiery. They get labeled as, tough to deal with. But Tom Brady, and it's not just Tom Brady, but using Tom Brady in this example.
Well, he's the GOAT in everybody's mind.
So. Right. He's just a fighter, fiery competitor. I think it was Skip Bayless who said it. He's just Psycho Tom. He's just such a competitor.
Oh, that makes it psycho. Oh, that, okay.
The crazy part was the segment, maybe the segment right before that, he was talking about Odell Beckham Jr. being a diva. And I'm like,
oh, but that's not diva.
You don't see the hypocrisy.
Yeah. No, you can't, because it's what?
White privilege. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that did something to me. I was like, really? I just kept waiting. Like, is something or somebody going to say something that's going to, you know what I mean? Like, this is not appropriate. This is not appropriate for a professional athlete.
Mm-hmm.
This is not appropriate behavior.
Right.
Not even that. So Odell Beckham Jr. is a skilled player. Tom Brady is the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. The leader.
The leader. I don't care what team you on, the quarterback
mm-hmm.
is a leader.
Yeah.
And it just, it did something to me. I said, oh, so he gets to get away with this because I don't understand how this is okay. This is not okay, Tom. Mm-hmm. I don't care how much, you get your emotions in check then.
Lord.
Because you got the right one. Because, just think somebody had done that to your coach. Now, we know Bruce Arians. He white shot.
Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't have been.
They might have got pounded out.
It wouldn't have been pretty at all. I know that defensive coordinator was just in shock. Like, what?
Yeah. Like, so, really? He just came over here and said this
to me? You just said that to me? Like, you better be glad we playing football. Like, you can run on now, because, yeah.
I mean, it's the same behavior we saw in the Super Bowl when he ran up and got in what's his name? Tyrann Mathieu's face?
Matthew. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. He has Skip Bayless's word. There's a little psycho there.
Mm-hmm.
But I need you to get it under control, because you don't get to do that just because you're Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So, all right, last. So we've talked about the NFL, the NBA. We've mm-hmm. mentioned this several times within these two topics as well.
Right.
What should the sports world do about the uptick of COVID cases? We're seeing the NHL making a decision. We've seen, seems like hockey is really the one that's like, nah, we're not going. They've decided not to participate in the Olympics. The NHL has. And then I just saw where like they're, I guess it's their amateur or under their AAU version right. of NHL. They're not doing any of their stuff mm-hmm. that they would normally do this year. So what are your thoughts?
Another thing, Texas A&M pulled out of their bowl
yeah.
game.
Yeah.
And I believe Rutgers just accepted the bid to play in that game on behalf mm-hmm. of Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it just looks horrible, right? Like, everyone who knows me knows that I'm a fan of the Washington football team. And we just played a game the other day against the Eagles, and it was like, and let me again publicly apologize to the NFL, because I tweeted out some very unsavory things about you guys. And I realized after reading an article that it wasn't the NFL who forced these games to go on, because they wanted to cancel them.
Mm-hmm.
It was the NFLPA who understood that by canceling those games, these players wouldn't get paychecks. So they weren't willing mm-hmm. to cancel the games. So I guess I understand it from that point. But the product on the field was terrible, you know, and it's unfortunate that the NFL, and I know we're talking about all leagues, has such a lock on us that we can't turn away and we can't vote with our eyes at what we feel like is a poor product.
Yeah.
If you are playing games where you got teams who have, I believe the Ravens right now only have about 13 players on defense.
Wow.
Who are able to play this weekend. Come on, man.
You don't play.
Yeah.
All you need is one person hurt.
Right.
You're done.
And so it's just unfortunate that, not just with the NFL, but with all sports,
yeah.
that the majority of these decisions are solely based on money, not the health of the people involved. And we keep seeing this virus mutate. And while this doesn't have the mortality rate as Delta
or the original,
it's way more contagious, you right. know.
And we still don't know all of the details about what this is doing to people in the long run, right? So I think people are seeing, they're feeling like, oh, people coming back, they're good, they're getting out here, they get sick, they get through it, they come back, they're good. It's almost like the flu, right? And in some cases, that's as much as it's been like for people, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like a flu-like thing, you come back, you're good. But some people, because I remember us having this story about this young man who played for Penn State, I believe it was, mm-hmm. who had to retire from football because his heart was enlarged mm-hmm. after this. So we just do not know. And so it's why take the gamble? Y'all, you trying to tell me that in the last 15 weeks, you ain't made enough money? That you can't stand to miss a check or two?
Right.
Over your life, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's just my opinion. Like, you can keep that money if it's that. If it's that mm-hmm. or that, you can keep it as long as, and if you have not done the things, because that's another whole nother subject to talk about. Because if mm-hmm. you are so concerned about your check mm-hmm. over your life, because you worry you won't be able to take care of your bill, then you're overextending yourself. Because if you in 15 weeks don't have enough money, mind you, y'all, these people's leaving out with more money than an average person makes in a year.
Yeah.
And one check.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, maybe you need to check your lifestyle.
That's true.
If it's got to be my life or this, I'm checking my lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I agree that they need to, I think the whole country just needs to, the unpopular opinion, I'm sure, just have another shutdown right now, especially because this variant isn't as deadly or people aren't being hospitalized as much. I'm glad to see Pfizer just came out with this pill. People can stay at home when they're sick and get well there and not have to keep overcrowding and overstressing these frontline workers in these hospitals.
Right.
But if we just shut down for a minute, because this one seems weaker than even the original, we might be okay. And we can all go back outside instead of just some people.
Right. The people, I won't say that.
Yeah, just some people.
Yeah.
So that's my take on that. But yeah, so, okay. All right. I think this is my favorite new favorite segment of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, I love that you did this. The real roll call.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay. I'm not keeping time. And listen, it's my first day of this, y'all. Sorry. We gonna just, listen, I'll just make sure we keep it rolling, okay? Yeah. We're not timing it today. But basically, real roll call, we're gonna go really quickly through these subjects and just give our opinion. Really, really quickly. All right. First one, Peyton Manning wants the ownership of the Broncos. Love it or not?
I still love it, right? I still love it. Now, I'll let you say your part about this, why you don't love it. But I just love the fact that he's going to be an owner. And I know he's going to be one of those owners who are like, he's going to be a Jerry Jones type of owner. Yeah.
No.
I know. Okay. I know that kind of sounded negative. I just meant from the standpoint of like, he'll be the rock star. Like he'll be the focal point of the team. So when he wants to go in the media and talk and he'll be received in the same way that Jerry Jones is.
So he could be a mixture of Jerry and Arthur. Cause I feel like he'll have Arthur Blank's kind of spirit about things.
Okay. Yeah.
A little swaggy, he's more of a owner's coach. Like he's a owner's player's owner. You know what I mean? Like he's very much so like a dad to his players kind of thing. Or even a granddad, like that kind of thing. So yeah. Nah, for me, cause this ain't the team you're supposed to be trying to buy, bro.
Yeah.
You are a Colts in my head.
Yeah.
I know you went and you played and you won. I know all that, but you are a Colts, cause that was your team. You, Tony Dungy, Marvin Harrison. Like, yeah. Listen.
So this is why I still love it, though. Because if there was an opportunity for him to buy the Colts or to buy at least a portion of the Colts or, you know, whatever.
I'm sure he would. Yeah.
He certainly would have done
that. I know. But I don't want you to buy the Broncos. And then the other part of it is John Elway. Don't deal with that.
Oh, but look, if he buys the team, he can get rid of John.
Oh, come on.
Which he will not do.
He won't. That's what I'm saying. Listen, John Elway is beloved. You want mutiny in Denver. You want mutiny in Denver? Get rid of John Elway. Because he's their GOAT, okay?
Yeah.
He's their GOAT. But yeah, nah. So, all right. Tiger Woods watching his son on the golf course with so many of his same mannerisms. So he did an interview. He did like I can't even remember what it was, but they had him sit down and watch his son playing golf and just watching him do so many things they could put side by sides of them, and it was the exact same mannerism. It was creepy almost.
Yeah.
But I thought this was really cool.
No, it really was. When I saw it, it looked like, you know, obviously they don't look like, it didn't look just like he was when he was a kid. But when you saw it, like, it kind of was reminiscent of seeing a video of he and his dad.
Yep.
Like, on the course. And I was like, wow. Like, even from the... like just the and it's, you said mannerisms, but like just the small movements and stuff like that you see him do, and it's like, yo, that's the exact same. That's crazy. Exact
same. When the nose thing came, I said, oh,
yeah.
So you are definitely your daddy's son. Like, I thought that was really cool though. So he like swipes his nose the same way his dad does.
Yeah.
So Tiger explained that they both have really bad allergies. Uh-huh. Being out there in that grass. So yeah, but I thought that was really cool. So ESPN reports on a story, former USC player who allegedly committed fraud as a current Jackson State player. So let me explain more. The story came out and the headline said, Jackson State University player arrested for fraud. That is the way that the headline read.
Yeah.
For COVID fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Because allegedly he was the mastermind, essentially, behind a conspiracy that they pretty much, they defrauded the government to receive funds.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I would just say this. This happened when he was at USC, not at Jackson State. Mm-hmm. And just for the record also, he has been removed from Jackson State football team. Just so you know.
Right.
But I got a problem with the media with this one. I'm coming for y'all, ESPN, and anybody else in the media who reported this story that way, because it makes it seem like it happened at Jackson State. While it is a fact that he was currently playing for Jackson State University, when this occurred, he was at USC, and I feel like you should have said former USC player instead of putting Jackson State in the headline. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let you have it. This, I feel, is a direct response to the new admiration for HBCU.
Yes.
The way that they are being celebrated finally. Right. And the way that these young people are making decisions to take that step versus going to the PWIs or the Power Five schools or whatever. And right. So I feel like that is, this is almost feels retaliation in some way. So I'm done.
No, no. And that's 100%, like you took my whole talking point. This feels like retaliation for the fact that HBCUs are now like kind of getting shown a spotlight on them. So it's like, okay, well, since y'all getting this good spotlight and this good press, let me give you a little bit of bad press. Mark Schlaubach is his name. And I hope, I don't even care if I'm pronouncing it correctly, because I know that you knew what you were doing when you wrote this headline. Now, maybe someone at ESPN, an editor above you made the decision to change the headline. But in your first sentence, you said a Jackson State football player was arrested by federal authorities Monday. So forgetting the fact that he did these things at USC, and you mentioned them very deep into the paragraph, which means that you were only looking for clicks and indentations, which generate ad revenue. This is a part of, not only are you attempting to shine a negative light on HBCUs by this statement, you're also looking to capitalize off of the light that HBCUs, or the positive light that HBCUs has been getting over the past couple of years. And it's nasty, you know what I'm saying? Like, and we posted about this the other day. Like, I feel like ESPN and Mark, you should answer for this. Like, why was this, like, why did you feel like this was the correct thing to do? You know, and it sucks because the media, you know, and they say don't pick fights with, I'm sorry, we didn't turn this into a whole topic, but say don't pick fights with someone who who buys ink by the barrel full. But like, you should have the answer for this.
Yeah, no, yeah. I just need you to come back and with a retracted statement. I don't care. The facts are the facts. The boy did play for Jackson State. Fine. But I need you to redo. Right. Because I need you to come back and make that right. That's just, It's simple semantics, but it ain't simple. It ain't simple. I need you to fix now. All right. Sorry, y'all. Jaden Rashad, high school player, four-figure NIL deal with AIR. Come on now.
That's it.
Come on now.
Let me get my coins as a high school player.
High school student being, listen, let's go. I love this.
You know why, like, the people in power hate this?
Because it's taking their power.
This is money that probably would have gone to a university or to someone else other than these players. To me, it's the equivalent, and I know folks who are in the music industry or, like, at least on the periphery understand what I mean by this. It's like the majors are getting stripped of their chokehold that they've had on the music industry, and now the artists are getting paid.
Yep.
And so I see this in the same light.
Yep.
Love it.
I just think about working at Douglas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what that would have did for them kids.
What that would have done.
Oh, my God.
And I think of so many, you hear so many stories of kids who are amazing athletes, really good at a sport, but because they have to work or because they have to, you know, take care of somebody else or do something else, they can't be on the field or on the floor or on the court or whatever sport they're playing. Yeah. And it just, this is a game changer. And I love, it's not some big $1 million deal.
Mm-mm.
He just gives a good safe amount for someone who is at his age, right? Mm-hmm. And so I love it. It's a great opportunity to learn how to manage your money before you get money. You know what I mean? Like, before you get big money, this is great. I love this on so many levels for them. Now, the only thing I still said, and I said for college, and I said for all levels of sport, we just need to be more intentional about teaching financial literacy.
Definitely.
That's it.
Definitely.
That's it. So, all right, last topic. This is really sad.
Yeah.
So Vincent Jackson's autopsy came back and revealed that he died from chronic alcohol use. It's sad, but it's crazy because I really thought he committed suicide. So in one way, there's relief, but it was a slow suicide death, essentially, if you want to call it that. In our talk, we talked about this. I hate that people, I won't call out any race or gender, people feel they have to self-medicate themselves instead of actually, this is back to my shtick about mental health, right? Instead of going and getting the help that they need.
Well, I think an added layer to this is that once they looked at his brain, they saw that he had CTE.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sucks that they aren't able to find this out. I wish there was something, and I'm sure that researchers are working tirelessly to figure out a way to detect CTE before death.
Yeah.
You know, because the fact that we can only see it posthumously really limits the ability to help or to figure out like these players and like the ways they're in trouble.
Yeah.
Like we talked a couple of weeks ago about Zach Stacy.
Right.
Like if something happens to him and we find out that he has CTE, not that his behavior is excused.
No, but we got to have us a, right.
Yeah, it gives us a glimpse into like why this behavior may be occurring in order to help some of these guys get some type of help.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no. And so here's my thing. How about since we cannot right now detect when they have CTE while they're alive, let's assume everybody does.
Yeah.
And just provide them with some tools. Let's just assume everybody does, that's right?
Yeah.
And just whatever we need. So even while you got these people over here working on trying to figure out how we can detect it, can you have another crew over here working on what we do while they're still here? Mm-hmm. Like, what is the answer for helping them while they're still here? Right. That's the part I'm talking about. So we're just going to assume everybody got it, because all y'all get your heads knocked around. So it's on some level, somebody, you got it.
Right.
you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just assume everybody has it.
Right.
And we're not putting that on anybody, but I'm just saying, like, that's just the way to approach it for now until you can figure out a way to detect who does and does not. Just assume everybody got it.
Definitely. Yeah.
So, oh, rest in peace, sir. Yeah, rest in peace. All right. So now we're on to our mental health moments. So we haven't had one of these in a while. Mm-hmm. We did one last week.
I'm about to say, yeah, we did one last week.
But we haven't done one where it was a person. In a while. And so our mental health moment is about Devon Rouse, who is a Formula One, I believe, race car driver. And he has come out as openly gay, first openly gay driver in NASCAR history, I believe. And so his struggle before coming out, though, is why he's our mental health moment, because I feel like this is a really good thing for people. And it's not just about people who are having to struggle with coming out about their sexual orientation. Mm-hmm. It is so many, this could run the gamut of things that could be causing this, but Devon said that he attempted to commit suicide twice. And that is horrible. Yeah. We talked about Colton last week in my show picks, and this seems to be the common theme, especially when we're talking about people who are looked at in a certain light, right? You play this sport, you do this thing, you are like, people are not assuming these things are even possible for some strange reason. And so the pressure that they feel is really big. And for him, kudos to him for sharing his truth, because, you know, not everybody wants to share that they tried to kill themselves. So kudos for that. And I know that his thing is he wants to see, he wants to help other people, especially our teen population. This is huge amongst LGBTQ+ teen population is suicide. And so being a voice, a beacon, a piece of light to show them that it's okay. And him pioneering this space of being the first openly gay NASCAR driver. All of that's amazing.
Right.
And so kudos to you, Devon. And prayers up that you stay strong, sir.
Yeah.
Just being unapologetically who you are.
I like that. You know, one, he's gotten a lot of support since since coming out, and he talked about the two occasions where he attempted to commit suicide, and it's just like, you know, you said a little bit about this, but it's important for kids, or, you know, young folks who are looking up to like some of these sports figures who have this attention. It's important for them to see them and hear their stories and understand that they aren't alone. And it like, I've been seeing more and more like that representation really does matter. Like it
does.
It absolutely really does makes a difference in the lives of some of these young kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So
But just shout out to him.
Strong. Yeah. Stay strong and keep moving. I love it. Congratulations on everything that you're going to accomplish.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Feel good. Final thought.
Yeah.
All right. So this is really cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you tell this one because it pertains to your favorite.
To my team. Yes. So this, we talked a little bit earlier about COVID and how a lot of the players haven't been able to play. But one of the things that we didn't mention was that there also have been coaches who have been out. And so for the first time in history, two women, Jennifer King of the Washington Football Team and Callie Brownson of the Cleveland Browns, both served as running back coaches during their week 15 game. And this is the first time ever that this has happened. Women actually being position coaches on the sideline. And so this is one of those, you know, smile moments.
Absolutely.
And it's funny, like I won't, you know, mention no names or anything like that, but like just the kind of the debates that we have in our group chat. You know, some people not understanding why this is big and why this is huge and why this is important. You know, I want my kids to be able to do whatever they want to do, you know? And so, my daughter, I mean, she probably isn't going to be much into football, but if she wants to do it and she wants to be it, like, I don't want nobody telling her that like she can't do that or, you know what I'm saying? It's not proper for her, or she shouldn't do it, or nah.
No, go away. Yeah. Please, thank you.
All right.
I'll try to be quiet because you told me already about him.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to be quiet. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So we're at the end of another one.
Yes.
And we're about to do our show picks.
Ah, what you watching?
So, listen. I Am Athlete did I Am Athlete tonight. And I don't know if it's going to be a regular series. I hope so. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you something. That was so fun to watch.
Yeah.
I still can't pronounce that boy's last name, but his name is Legger. He's a defensive, a former NFL defensive end. He's kind of the host of the show.
Okay.
And then Mike Vick, Auntie Chantel, and Brandon Marshall.
Yeah.
So she's a former, we know who Mike Vick is. Well,
right.
Mike Vick is a former NFL quarterback.
You should Chantel know.
Everybody, just saying. Auntie Chantel is a former basketball player. She played in the WNBA and she played overseas and she was a superstar in college. So, and then we know who Brandon Marshall is, former NFL wide receiver. So they, it was really good. The topics were really good. I just felt like they did a really good job of, it was very entertaining. And I loved that they had her on. You know, they've had women on the episodes of the regular I Am Athlete Miami show, but it felt different with her. It was just a different feeling.
Yeah.
It was different. Yeah,
I still haven't checked it out. I need to check that one out.
I liked it. I said, "There's hope that I can get on this show."
Yeah, yeah. Brandon Marshall, make that happen, sir. I know you don't know who I am, and you
don't know me either.
You have to listen to me, but let's make that happen, sir. Thank you. Please and thanks.
Right. Thank you. Yes, we got two S. My brother be advocating for me.
Oh yeah.
That's the I Am Athlete, and that's Steph Curry.
look, I didn't even start
the life coach, sir.
I didn't even start to link that on YouTube videos.
Oh Lord.
Steph Curry's personal life coach.
Yes,
let's make it happen, sir.
Let's make it happen, sir.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So I'm gonna let you tell people how they can get in touch with us.
Oh wait, let me. So my show pick.
I forgot. Duh. That's
right. No. That's all right. My show pick really is just another podcast. It's called the Drink Champs Podcast with Nori and Dia. And
anybody seen EFN. This is some crazy stuff. If you've never seen Drink, you need to go watch this. Yeah. Trust me, drunk people talking is hilarious.
It's hilarious, yes. So a few weeks ago when they got Kanye drunk and he said some stuff.
Oh, Lord.
Particularly about Big Sean. I was really interested in Big Sean's response. Not to like for it to...
battle kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, not for it to be like anything messy.
Yeah.
But I really just wanted to hear his perspective on his time with Good Music. And I love how he approached it. It wasn't messy at all. Like, he didn't get into the weeds with, you know, some of the stuff that Kanye said, but he let him know that he was hurt by some of the stuff that he said. Mm-hmm. And he gave them the facts on, you know, what actually happened and what's going on and why he's no longer signed with Good Music. So okay. That was a really good interview. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So now tell them how they can get in touch with us.
All right. So listen. Please get in touch with us. hit us up on our email, you know, if you want to give us some feedback, or if you want to be a guest on the show, reach out to us. And that's field2therealpodcast@gmail.com. You can certainly reach out to us there. If you would like to reach out to us on our socials, you can hit us up at our Facebook page, The Field to the Real Project. Excuse me.
Podcast.
The Field to the Real Podcast. Freudian slip.
what you doing, God? We'll take
right. Our Twitter account is at field2therealp1. Our IG account is at field2therealpodcast. And you can reach out to us on all of those platforms if just to, you know, give us some feedback, or if you want to be a guest to, you know,
you want
to
know who's really right too, people.
Right. Yeah, or, you know, just give us some info on, like, what you would like to hear us talk about.
Oh, yeah, that's great, too. Yeah.
But definitely go to our YouTube page. Look at our videos, subscribe, share, like, comment, all that good jazz. We put the videos together in a way that, you know, you don't have to look at the entire episode. You can see, like, if you just want to look at who's really right this week and see and interact with us there. We appreciate you looking at all the videos,
right?
But, you know, we broke it down so that, you know, for time's sake, you can look at it in segments. And so we just truly appreciate you guys for listening.
Yes.
I'll let Stephanie do the salutations, because
no, I'm good. You know I'm not gonna do it. But thank y'all. We love y'all. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank y'all for rocking with us. Thank you for your patience with me today. As I, this is my first go at this on the producer side of things. So
let Stephanie know she did great. But we out of here. We love you guys. Peace.
Peace.
You still not going to do it, huh?
Oh, no.
Oh, man. Now put the cameras on me, 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 put the cameras on me.